Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. The joy of the Lord being our strength. Lord, we worship you, Lord, for so much loving us. I say I will never forget this. Every morning, your compassion, your loving can be made new. And we are already enjoying it. And we are able to shout, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. Lord, thank you, Father. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. For this purpose are we created. We are so glad we are with you. When the morning stars shout together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. We know ourselves then, but we know we were there. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. That has inhabited the places of thy people. You know you have so done here this morning again. That's what the Bible says. So we rejoice in your word greatly. Father, as we read the scripture this morning, the word of the living God, I thank God for this gospel. As our brother was testifying, the scripture says, the gospel is preached by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's how the gospel is preached.
Yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we rest assured in him this morning that he be the author of this word. He will help us understand him even the better.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So this morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, identifying the enemy, you know. Many of the time, God's children, we forget what battle we are raging and who is the real enemy. Some people will say, my boss is the enemy. Others will say that another person is my enemy. But who is the real enemy? So this morning, identifying the enemy. One of the, of the main reasons why the church has failed to press in and take this word for the Lord Jesus Christ is because, it's because not many of our members in the church have been made soldiers who know how to wage effective warfare. God has called for a trained and motivated army, and we have failed to mobilize for the battle he has called us onto. Don't forget, the Bible even told us that in one place, no man is called to be a soldier. Begin to maybe with the affairs of this life, right? We are soldiers of Christ. Praise the Lord. We are in a battleground and so forth. That but thank God the Lord is the captain of the host of this battle. Praise the Lord. It is the joyful part of it and so forth. So we are confident indeed. Anyway, one of the very first rules of successful warfare is that we must know our enemy. See? Even in the world, they know that. You know? And we must locate him and concentrate our firepower upon him. Otherwise, our efforts will be dissipated and ineffective. In 1 Peter 5:8, we need to understand who this enemy is or remind ourselves, already are aware of this. Be sober, that's 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, that is the adversary, the devil, amen, praise the Lord. Forget about any other thing. I don't care what people do to you. Just know the source of it all, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be in peace. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then you won't be mad about anybody, really. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's right. You know, your adversary, the devil. This adversary is your adversary. You could have put idea, right? This is the source of all the trouble of God's people and so on. The devil, as a running lion, walketh about, seeking who he might devour, he said, whom receives steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, which are in the world. I always come back to that, where I say steadfast. Sometimes we have some great victories, right? Then when you have the greatest victory, watch out, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So steadfastly resist him in the faith. So that's, comforting word, so we don't get sloppy after a victory, and so we keep on watching to go to a higher ground. Right there in that scripture I just read, we are told who the real adversary is, meaning the devil. So, the need of the hour is that God's people be trained, equipped, and mobilized to wage effective warfare with our adversary, meaning the devil. I will call him there. For dominion over this world, so that God's people turn the stance of a Christianity from a defensive to an all-out offensive. See? Notice on the defensive all the time. Let's launch out to the offensive. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To conquer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, fear has gripped much of the people of this world today. Fear everywhere. People are afraid. They know there are powerful enemies at work, but they do not know who or what these enemies are. Where to look for him, or how to really overcome him. People don't know anything about that. Many of the time, God's children forget, these enemies and so forth. Many of the sincere politicians, sociologists, and even psychologists have a very pessimistic outlook on the future. If they are sincere, right? They do not tell you, they will be saying something different. They won't tell you what they know. The politicians and so on, the terrible thing that happened to this world and so on. But they won't say, they will be lying to the people. Anyway, so one prominent scientist once said, and they say it all the time, that we give the world 10 years. They say it all the time. They know something is coming, right? They don't know the magnitude of it and so on like that, But thank God we know by the word of God. Many leaders are of the opinion that things cannot go on in the same vein in which they are now progressing. But they will be lying to the people, right? You see? The U.S. as a nation is afraid, whether they say it or not. The world is afraid. The world has entered the beginning of the days of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ for the end time. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts filling them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And he said, for the path of the heaven shall be shaken. Telling you there is fear everywhere. They may be lying to you, the police may be lying to you. People are afraid we will not have enough clean water or clean air to breathe, in the nearest future. They are afraid, that our water system will be so polluted that we will not have fresh, clean water in the nearest future. These fears are there, expressed or not, it's right there. Go and have politicians who are really sincere, and so they will tell you. There are already many shortages of food throughout the world, and the predictions of famine are ominous. All this already fulfilling again the prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ for the end time. Mark 13:8 says, the Lord talking here, for nation shall rise against nation. We see it every day, right? We just take over South America. Nation rising against nation, right? Happening right before our eyes and so on. Venezuela, whatever they call it, and something like that, So it has been happening all the time. So, but these things are happening. People don't even know what is going on, not knowing the scriptures, right? Anyway, so nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. And there shall be famine, the Lord said. And troubles, Bible call it troubles, right? Look at the old world in disarray. These, the Lord said, are the beginnings of sorrows. Let's measure our days with what the Lord is saying and know that really, we are really at the end time. Now, talking about these famines and things and drought and so on, even right in this southwest of the United States, that's where we live and so on. So, according to statistics, it has been in the worst drought in at least 1,200 years. Not a seismologist or something like that. That's what they said, right? Just quoting them. They almost identified said that this southwest part of America has been in the worst drought in at least 1,200 years. Right here in the southwest, where we belong, Arizona and so on, there is continued conflict between the seven states that depend upon the Colorado River. If I've listened to the news, right? And a conflict among them, that's about about survival now and fairness in the drying West. It's about survival, right? They are saying that the Colorado River, all these states are just like non-existent. So I'm saying, because they all share the water from Colorado River, right? So fear is everywhere, expressed or not expressed, right? This ongoing struggle over the Colorado River is one of the most serious water conflicts in the United States history today. Driven by chronic drought, climate change, population growth, look at America alone. Even in this city of Phoenix, when we came here, I think Phoenix was under 1 million people. I used to, when I drive on the free weather, I say, entering Phoenix, population of 990 something thousand, under 1 million. How many million are we today? Population explosion. Praise the Lord. See? When they were sharing the Colorado River in the past, they never expected that there'd be so much population here, you know. But it's here today. You see that's here everywhere. So we see right there. So anyway, so chronic drought everywhere, just as the Bible says it will be. So the bleakest part of the picture on top of all this is that sin is completely rampant. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. On top of everything. Who even knows? In the days of Jeremiah, you know, because of their sin, I will send the sword, I will send the drought, right? And they were mocking Jeremiah. There be no drought, there be no sword, they said, right? You know, they were mocking him. He's the same God of judgment, God of peace, God of love. But when they won't listen to him, what can he do? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so evil in the nation and nations is on an unprecedented scale, and including rising crime rates, increased violence, murders, mayhems, robbery, sex crimes, drug addiction, and all we can people go, everything in us, you know, on an upswing, you know. There are spirits loose in the world today that have been given the diabolical assignment of tearing down the structure, the foundation, and the constitution of this nation. I say that again. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I say there are spirits loose in the world today, diabolical assignments of tearing down the structure, the foundation, the constitution of this nation and the nations of the world. They are tearing down faith in the Bible. They are tearing down prayer in the homes and so on, that you know, and everything that is holy has been turned down. What's going on? Spirit, loose upon the earth, doing all these things, and yet the world knows not who the enemy is, right? In the face of the problems and the perplexities that come upon us, we must never fail to realize that we are not really dealing with man. We are not really dealing with men at all, you know. We are not dealing with political ideologies. You can talk about this politician all you want, and that's what all you want, you are just scratching the surface. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, we're not even dealing with things. Our warfare is not with men. It is not with the social system of our day. We are not in a national battle, brother and sister. We are in a spiritual conflict. The scripture tells us plainly, Ephesians 6:12, talking about knowing the enemy this morning, identifying the enemy, you know, both in your private life, in the nation and the nations and something like that, you know, so don't begin to blame somebody. Get to the root of the matter, then you are going to have permanent peace, amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then you don't blame somebody for anything, you know the root of it, then you are going to be in perfect peace because, you know, when you locate your enemy, then you are going to tackle him with the weaponry that I'm going to talk about shortly by the grace of God. So we see right there. So, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I wish Christians, every time we know it off our head, I pray we need to apply them to our daily life. Amen. Praise the Lord. See?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that, you know. In addition to fear, there are all kinds of spirits unleashed upon this right now. In addition to fear, there is also great confusion over this nation and the nations too. Political leaders are in disagreement with one another on any subject you can mention. Whether it is economic, they are in disagreement. Social problems, they are in disagreement. Foreign policy, they are in disagreement. Or any other field. there is great perplexity among our leaders. Other nations are not doing any better anyway. All these are in fulfillment of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ for the end time. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. The nations are distressed. Look at it for yourself. Don't need to be told. Unless one has buried his head in the sand, right? Then you find what is happening in the world. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waste running, the Lord foretold for the end time. That tells another thing that we are living at the end time, right? Anyway, there is a spirit of confusion in the religious world too, as well as the political. They are all confused. It exists in denominations too, even in the church, as well as in the lives of individual believers. It's a spirit, you know, it's a spirit. This confusion is a spirit. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, for you and me, God's children, 1 Corinthians 14:31, for God is not the author of confusion, amen, but of a peace, as in all the churches are, honor of God, of the saints, the Bible says. So, talking about fear, fear is a spirit, amen. I say fear is a spirit. Whether, identify the enemy, right? It's just substituted in there and so on. Fear, you know, is a spirit. And there is a spirit of fear pervading the very atmosphere on an unprecedented scale. People are afraid of so many things. The Bible says, some of the things they are afraid of are imaginary. You know that Satan can do that and trick them. But many of them are real too. What they are afraid of and so on like that, Many of them are very, very real. Most of them are too. They are Satan's imaginary thing, just to threaten the people. And so the Bible says fear has torment, right? How the scripture says, praise the Lord. From time to time, leaders of the financial world are said to be afraid of what is going to come economically. Politicians won't tell you that, but the real financial leaders who know what is going on, they are terrified of the economic situation upon the face of the world. The government will lie to you, oh, all is well, right? We are doing well, things like that, Anyway, there is a total frustration on every hand. And frustration is a spirit too, We are not to be, we are not to be, to be scared by them. I'm not saying to be scared, to scare us or anything like that, But so that we will know the total hopeless frustration that exists at the highest level of the intelligentsia. People who are educated and know economics and things like that, you need to know, we know where they are at. Don't let the government deceive you now. And the true scientists will end up with the Bible, Praise the Lord.
See?
Now, people's hearts actually are failing them for fear of circumstances, just as our Lord Jesus Christ said, about 2,000 years plus ago, in Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. It's happening right here every day and so on. See? Knowing the enemy. People's hearts actually, are feeling like I said before, but thanks be unto God who has not left us comfortless in the midst of all these we await the coming of the Lord in the rapture to comfort your heart and my heart. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't let him get you. When fear comes, you come, that's an enemy coming from the pit. Amen. God even give that spirit. Praise the Lord. And once he knows you know who he is, he flees,
amen?
Another scripture is in Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear,
amen?
But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's who we are. So don't let him trick you. When he brings fear, know the source of it. The Bible says, perfect love cast out all fear. Is that right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? So when we love the Lord, Our fear is not the fear of torment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a fear that, oh, the Almighty and so on, we worship Him, not in tormenting type of fear. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Luke 21:9. But another comforting scripture. When you shall hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified, be not afraid, for these things must first come to pass. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That nation, overrun that nation, don't let your heart fail. The Lord said this thing must surely first come to be, right? That is the era we are living in, another sign of the end time. If for you to be happy, lift up your head. Our redemption dress now, amen?
Amen.
This sign telling you that we are ready to go home, amen? Mm-hmm. The rapture of the first fruit of the church. Now, let us see another spirit in the world. I've been here for a long time. Promiscuousness exists in the very here. Promiscuousness, too, is a spirit. Now, the learning of moral and spiritual standards has reached the point that it is no longer considered immoral to publish the worst kind of pornography or any kind of a terrible and immoral content openly on social media for all the world to see. You don't need to be seen anymore, right? You know, now, it is said that, you know, approximately 9 to 10% of the U.S. adults identify as LGBTQ+. And that's roughly about 30 to 32 million people in America alone who have identified with LGBTQ+, right there, you know. So, and of course, out of this, about 3 to 4% identify specifically as gay or lesbian. Those are the original traditional homosexuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the United States. That's right. Praise the Lord. Getting worse and worse, you know, and some of that, you know, because we are at the end time, you know. So, and these are just a few of the evil spirits loose in the so-called civilized America and the countries of this world. You know, just we can keep on going of the evil spirits that have been leashed out. What's going on? The Antichrist revelation of being revealed not far away. Amen?
Mm.
Praise the Lord. So we see that right there and some of that, you know. How can they fight an enemy that they have not located? Or how can they fight an enemy when they close their eyes and pretend that the enemy does not exist? You see? How can they fight those things and something like that, you know? It is when God's children, the children of God, the church of the Lord Jesus, realize that we are not dealing with men or ideologies, but with the unseen spirit world, that we will have the greatest victory this world has ever seen in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to know what the scripture says about who the real enemy is and so on, we are not in a natural conflict. We are in a spiritual conflict. It is a conflict that cannot be, solved by Washington, D.C. in the U.S., nor by Ottawa in Canada, not by Moscow in Russia, not by Beijing in China. The problem for this world is spiritual problem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't listen to them. When they are where a man is touching the world and start to promote peace, right? When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction come upon them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Amen? Only the elect will escape. Amen? Those who are listening to the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Watch out now. Anybody or individual who is proclaiming peace without Jesus Christ, you see, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen? Praise the Lord. When they say that bringing peace and so on and no association with Christ, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Deceiving the world and so on that, you know, and we are living in that era now. So Washington can't bring peace. Beijing can't bring one. You know, Moscow can't bring any peace. There is only one prince of peace, amen? Right from his birth, Isaiah 96, right? Unto us his son, is born. His child is given. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So everybody come and say, I want to bring peace. They are liars and they are deceivers. And so on, that's not the spirit of the Antichrist, you know. So that's what is going on right there in this one. We are seeing it every day, you know. So it is only when the church really absorbs what we are talking about this morning, the revelation that to know who the enemy is, that she will have solid understanding beneath her feet for the power to march forward, knowing in whom she has believed. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you read that contract, not in your head now, talking to know that who the real enemy is and so on, the enemy of the society, the enemy of the Christian and so on, then have a great footing, knowing whom you have believed. Then she will never be the same again, you know. She will, in the church now, she will know how to deal with the spirit of rebellion, confusion, as is speaking the word, frustration, turmoil, loss, you know, and all this other evil in the world. Selfishness and so on, criticism and so on, fear, anxiety, and many thousands of others which have been loose upon this world right now, and so on. Because of this, many modern day Christians are so confused that they no longer know what the will of God is anymore. They are so far away from God. I'm not talking about church going, right? Praise the Lord. I'm talking about relationship with Christ. Praise the Lord. What I'm talking about and so on, that, you know. They do not even know where to go, what to do, or where to turn. Confucian and so on, that, you know. If I were borrowed from Shakespeare, Confucian has made his masterpiece, right? Praise the Lord. That is what we are living in right today and so on, you know. And, you know, they do not know what decision to make or in which direction to go. Many denominations, even strong evangelicals, choose to take the easy way out. See? You know this? Woe, woe, woe unto them that are easy in Zion, right? He must cry. Praise the Lord. That scripture is true today. So, you know, now, they choose either to ignore this condition we are talking about this morning, or place them in the hands of the psychologist. Even when churches do that and so on, they invite them, can you imagine, to the church, psychologists to the church. You know, and so on, that, you know. They explain that the unusual power of the Holy Spirit present in the lives of the early church ceased. I mean, can you see the evil? It has ceased. And therefore, we no longer are required to deal from a standpoint of a supernatural demonstration of God's power. You know, but it is time we just pray for all of them to return to the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Bible says it's a contention. We are in a battle, right? Praise the Lord. Jews, they contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Apostle Paul, for example, won't buy any of these things, you know. And he knew nothing of that frustration we're talking about and confusion in the church, denomination and so on, that, you know. So he confessed in 1 Corinthians 2:4, And my preaching, he said, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the spirit and of power, which the churches are ignoring today. They say for the early church, right? No longer for them, right? Not for the elect of God. The elect of God believe all the scripture, amen? Praise the Lord. The true elect believe all the scripture. The doctrine of the true elect is the old Bible, amen? From Genesis to Revelation, praise the Lord. That is the doctrine of the true Christian. You know. Anyway, verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, and many are doing that today, you know, but in the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:12. Apostle Paul won't buy any of this garbage of this church. Permit me for that language and so on. No, he won't take any of that. For I know whom I have believed, right? And I pass through a dead God that is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. That should be my testimony and your testimony in this perilous day, in this idolatry day and so on, that, you know. Now, there was no confusion in Apostle Paul's mind when he wrote by the Holy Ghost in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? But, you know, and he said at 37 verse, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen.
Amen.
The spirit of the overcomer, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let it always be in your mind. Throughout the book of Revelation, the church ages, Revelation 1 to 3 and so, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, even as I overcame, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is the will of the Lord for the church, the body of Christ. So, endeavor to achieve the goal of the overcomer, amen,
amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There was no confusion, I mean, in the mind of Paul, all those things. And again, let me say more. As evil is a spirit, goodness is also a spirit. Amen? I've named many evil in the world, right? So as evil is a spirit, godliness is a spirit. As hate is a spirit, which has infiltrated and ruled the nations of this world, so love is a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All those two, let me show you what I mean by that goodness is a spirit and love is a spirit. They are cataloged in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the spirit, right? Let me say that. But the fruit of the spirit is love. You see, love is a spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fruit of the spirit, right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, goodness, you see, goodness is a spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? Faith, meekness, temperance, against so there is no law. So, now, as procession and confusion is a spirit, so is a separateness is a spirit too. Sickness is a spirit. It is a result of the cause. God never intended, talking about knowing the enemy, right? Identify the enemy. God never intended for man's, many things God never intended. For example, he never intended for man's eyes to even become dim. I mean, there was one man in the Bible, his name was called Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's one example. Even God never intended for man's ears to become weak. Otherwise, those look at the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and one scripture is Mark 7:37. And the people, you know, were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, that's what I'm talking about, and the dumb to speak. Praise the Lord. Because never intended for man's ear to be weakened. So when he came here, we need to straighten those things as our brother said. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He will make the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. Man was created in the image of God. God never intended for man to even die. God intended for man to live forever. That's the original plan of God. And there are three things God never intended for man to ever possess. Talking about the enemy identifying this money and so in different ways and so on. Three things. You know, sickness and death. Those are three things. This trial. You know, God never intended for man to possess. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. Wow. Through disobedience, though, the spirit of sin came into the world. The Bible says, and as a result of sin, the spirit of sickness and death came to the world. The trial, I call them, sin, sickness, and death, constitute the cause of the law. But thanks be unto God. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise the Lord. Everything we have of God is through faith. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is in Hebrews 11:5-6, I believe it is. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, I thank God. Every one of us have been given a measure of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What you do with this is up to me and you. We are about to grow. Yeah, let it grow. Praise the Lord. This Father, the sincere milk of the word. See? That you may grow thereby. Praise the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You eat that word, digest the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not just leave it for, say, routine sake. I've read this and so Bible today. You digest it. No spend time in meditation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just like your natural food, right? What good is a food that you eat? It's not digested. Can't give you any physical energy, can they? Praise the Lord. The same thing. The Bible, God's word, is the spiritual food for the elect, right? So when you read it, you meditate upon them. He told Joshua, this word of the Lord, right, shall not depart out of your mouth, but in it shall thou meditate when? Day and night. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Only then can you make your way prosperous. And all those that he told us in Joshua 1:9, right? Meditation very important. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So digesting the word of God, that's how to do it. So now, so let's see here. And salvation even is a spirit in a way. Healing is a spirit too in a way. Even God is a spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says so. Let me talk about that. God is a spirit. God is not confined to a stated, great building, building we see for church today and things like that, glass window and tinted thing, not confined to that. God is not, is not confined to a rope choir. I don't care how beautiful they dress, if they are singing the true gospel song, bless their hearts. God, is not confined to a stone architectural of a cathedral. I don't care how big they may be. Well, praise God. If God is in there, they appreciate the gospel. He's not confined to any historic spot at all. He is not bound, to our tradition, forms, formalities of worship. God is not limited to time or space because God is a spirit. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 4, the Samaritans, of course, the story in John chapter 4, how the Lord, the disciples had gone to go and get some food and so forth. Then the word that Jacob gave to Joseph, Sarka they called it, he was there. Bible says he was weary of his journey. He was both man and God, right? Praise the Lord. And of course, this woman of Samaria came to draw water, and the Lord said, give me to drink. He says that you being a Jew, ask water of me in Samaria. Don't think that we don't have any dealing together. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
If you know the gifts of God, and he that has given me to drink, you will ask of him, right? I will give you water that when you drink of it, you never thirst again. Oh, give me that water that I will not come to draw here again. By the way, and God said, go and call. Well, I can do that for you. No, just go and call your husband. I don't have any husband. The Lord said, I know you don't. You've been with five men already. The one you have now, it's not even your husband, I'm sure. I perceive that that was the prophet. Praise the Lord, the woman said. I have a question for you then. We are stood up upon this mountain, gathering, we are to worship God. But you say in Jerusalem only shall God be worshipped. Then that is just chapter 4, right? And then the Lord, praise the Lord. So, it is a very, familiar thing and so on. So, well, stretch me out. I perceive like a prophet. And so that, the Lord now told him plainly, that in John 4:23, that the hour is come. See? But the hour coming, and now is when the true worshippers of God, shall worship him. You shall worship the Father in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm talking about here. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord said, so he's a spirit. God is omnipresent. He is omnipotent and omniscient. He's all knowing. He's everywhere present at the same time. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's quite a spirit. And so on that, So that's why When we pray here, you can pray anywhere in the world. It's ever present, equally at the same time, everywhere. Praise the Lord. Oh, the mystery of godliness. Praise the Lord. God was manifest in this flesh. In the flesh and so on, seeing the spirit, preached unto us the Gentile, seeing of angels and so on. Many, many mysteries about God, right? Anyway, so now man is a spirit. Man is a spirit being too. Praise the Lord. Man is created in the very image of God. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, the Lord said. So since God is a spirit, and man is a spirit being, then this image of God, is not in the physical man as so on. It is in the spiritual. So because man was created in God's spiritual image, God gave him the right of choice, the same as God himself has. God put him here with divine authority to rule the earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, he was the little God of this world when God created him. Praise the Lord. I put little G, G-O-D. Oh, well, even the Jews who don't believe the Lord, I feel what's written in your law, that he that made them, they need them to be God. See what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. G-O-G-O-D, no put more G and so on. If he that made them, call them God, how is it that then you accuse me when I say I'm the son of God? Praise the Lord. See? So anyway, so he gave him dominion over the earth. Being a spirit being, made in the image of God and so on. So anyway, so in this respect, men are like angels, meaning they have a free choice, right? God also created the angels with the right of choice. So we are free moral agents. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't you want to constrain you to worship him? He gave you and I, he made us a free moral agent and so on. Satan also, who formerly was one of the highest ranking angels, exercised this choice to rebel against God. You see? And then one third of the angels exercised their choice, to follow Satan. And so were cut out of heaven with him, right? Tragically, man used this spiritual image, this right of choice, to make a wrong choice, to disobey God. God has told Adam in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Of course, that satanic thing, the beast and so forth, the most subtle, Bible says in Genesis and so on, of all the beasts in the field and so on, talking to Eve, and the decision, as God said, Bible says it's a liar and a lie from the beginning. Praise the Lord. See, as God said and so on and that, so that cannot die. It's actually just opposite what God said. And he has been lying since ever that time. To the point that the day you and I are living in, Bible says the Antichrist will deceive the whole world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says we deceive the whole world. Anyway, so when Adam, Eve disobeyed God and sinned, he opened the door for mankind to reap the three things that I told you about that God did not intend for man to possess: sin, sickness, and death. And Adam did not die physically on that very day. We know that, but he died spiritually that day. Praise the Lord. That's right, he died spiritually. Maybe I can talk a little bit about that. That time, he couldn't have access to God anymore. You see, he was driven out of the garden and so on. Anyway, and nevertheless, in 1 Corinthians 15:22, Bible says, in Adam all die, how the Bible says. And we are told for that same verse that even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise the Lord. Those who believe on him. Praise the Lord Jesus. I believe in John 5:24. Very, very, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into the judgment or condemnation. Praise the Lord. That is John 5:24. For those who are listening to that, Anyway, so that's what the little bit of history of man. As in Adam, mankind experienced spiritual death. Christ offered the opportunity to be reborn spiritually. It is the spiritual part of man that is God, is in God's image actually. Man is not his physical body. The real man is the spirit man. So, and you know what? Satan also is a spirit. Praise the Lord. Satan is spirit too. Anyway, let's read that scripture again. Identify the enemy. I want to read again. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, but no, and power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and so forth. So to know this truth, that's what I'm reading right now, is to have located the enemy. When you really digest Ephesians 6:12, then you have located the enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can't deceive you anymore. To have pinpointed the cross of every conflict. When you read that scripture in Ephesians 6:12, then you have located the enemy. You have pinpointed the cross of every conflict. We are not in a natural battle in our problems. Whatever problem you have, not a natural battle. When one is afflicted and so on, that's not a natural battle. When you have anxiety, not a natural battle. Even fear, not a natural battle. Our frustration that people call to Christians and so on, that's not a natural battle. We are in a spiritual warfare in the spirit world. And this is the root cause of every problem, as we can see. Every battle, every fear, every frustration that the child of God ever have. You know, so the earlier you appreciate it, and then you can continue to really war a good warfare. Amen. Praise the Lord. A good fight of faith. It's a fight, right? Praise the Lord. A good fight of faith. When you really that you should sink that into you. We all know in our head, right? But I'm talking of it, knowing that you know that you know that you know. Then, you see, it will be fighting a good fight of faith. Now, okay, so now the people of this world know many people. So let me say, many people are afraid to identify the work of the demon power, because many do not have any idea how to deal with it. Even church people, they are afraid to identify the problem that comes from demons as being demon origin. Why? Because they don't know how to deal with it, right? So, what do they do instead? Even in churches, what do they do then? They do not know how to go in, press the battle against the enemy, and they defeat him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they do? Rather, they rationalize. They use psychology and the sociology to call things like insanity, criminality, and perversity. That's right. And I quote, and emotional, they call it emotional distress, resulting from, maladjusted childhood. That's how the world sees. And some people buy that kind of thing too, right? Not knowing who the enemy is, right? They use some other theory to explain and justify the problems which plague our generation. Then they try to deal with them in the natural way. And we all know this approach never finds a permanent cure, because the problem is a spiritual problem, isn't it? That's why many of the things of these people of this world fail. They are still fail and so on. They can't identify the enemy, right? But if we define the problem as it really is, a spiritual power of Satan, power they are, which has gone into the life, you know, through the original entrance of sin into the world, entrance into the nature of man, that provides the ground for all these results of the disobedience of the first parents. If they do, then we can deal with it as a sinister spiritual power, right? At the root cause, not at the surface. You know, that's what the Christian needs to know, and not to flow with the word and so on. We can go in with the supernatural power of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? And defeat the enemy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But when the child of God fails to identify the enemy, how can you fight him? You know, if you go with the way the world is thinking and so on, I can't see that the devil is at the root of this thing. How can you fight him? Anyway, so let us believe the word of God. And then, now, in rising up this morning, the church today is at a critical junction in history. A junction, of course, what is a junction? A junction is where two roads cross, right? The road the church follows is running into attack by the devil as never before. Praise the Lord. I mean, as never before. You know, the road that crosses our road is the devil's power, really. You know, because Satan knows that he has but a short time, that's Revelation 12:12, not to put that one down. The church is facing a challenge of the devil's power it has never faced before, because it's putting out all it has, you know, against the church and so on. However, the Lord Jesus Christ assured us that the challenge shall be met, saying to us, or saying to us in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. No matter how tough, no matter what is, you know, and even more promise to us and so on. We are to wage an aggressive war, you know, adopt an offensive strategy, as our Lord Jesus Christ told us, or he said in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're not come here to just fold our hands. It's a battle. Praise the Lord. You know, so God's kingdom suffereth violence from the day of John the Baptist until now. And the violence, talking about spiritual violence, right? Our weapon, I've got to that one quickly. You can't shoot the devil with a shotgun. That's not what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. See? So, we must take the initiative to invade Satan's own territory, carry the battle to his field, overcome him on every hand, and come out of the battle with the spoils of victory, head aloft in the hands of a triumphant church, in the name and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where we should be doing right now. As Christians, there is something that you possess in your life where the devil is deathly afraid. What is that? He is no match for it. This I'm talking about. It is your ultimate assurance of total victory. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. He is deathly afraid of your ultimate, you know, assurance of a total victory. He shakes and so on like that, you know. Even when you resist him, Bible says he flees, right? All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He can't stand that, right? And the mistake you make many of the time, when you put your heart and mind to it, when you resist him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has no option but to flee. Not even to walk. He will flee. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are going to have a prayer victory, such as you have never, you know, have before. Scripture says, even when the enemy are coming like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, right, will build up a standard against him. Amen. If you are, I will let him do it. Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying. In you to do, you see. You know, for ourselves, we can do nothing. John 15:15 and so on. When you let him, you know that, you know, you are more than conquerors through him. I'm going to end up with that scripture really quickly. And so, as a Christian, and so I went through that already and so on. Anyway, so now you are going to experience victories in your life and see them. I mean, in the life of your loved ones, as you begin to know and identify properly the enemy and so on. We know who the enemy is now by one of the two scriptures I read this morning. And God has given us the tools for victory. Amen?
Amen.
Let me get and finish with this, some of these tools here. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Praise the Lord. When we forget, it's when we fail. But when you know these things, and you are firm, and make your proclamation, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing on this word of God, there is no failure. Praise the Lord. Yeah, weapons of warfare. I say warfare, right? Thank God, yes. But they are not carnal. They are mighty through God, to the pulling out of the stronghold. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That word is as true. God's word is eternal. You know, let every man be a liar. Mm-hmm. And let God be true. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I fail, I fail on my own excuse. Not God's work. God's work can never fail. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away. The Lord said, my work will never pass away. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that is the tool we use, right? Not our own effort and so like that, you know. By His power, we will take the battleground for the Lord Jesus. About the last two scriptures, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the favor of His knowledge by all in every place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Romans, to finish now, 37, Romans 8:37. Nay, which I read before, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So, brother and sister, total victory is yours, amen?
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Recognizing the enemy, identifying him, and knowing the authority you have in Christ to overcome him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a royal battle too. The Lord is the captain of the host.
Amen.
And is always with us. When he appears to Joshua, are you for us of our adversary? Oh, Joshua, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm glad to help you. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, his name is Oshay. You know, I'm that the type of the name of Christ. That I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The stronger, you know, I know in the Lord and the power of his might. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even like he wrote to us by David, you know, in the 94th Psalm. Showed us many, many promises in there. We shall not be afraid of the terror by the night, the arrow that flies by day, you know, or even the pest that walketh in darkness, and even the destruction that wasted at noonday. A thousand will fall at your side. I don't care what, you know, as 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come nigh unto you. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the word of the wicked. Because you have known his name, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Even at the very least, with long life, satisfy you and show you his salvation.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory. Oh, more than conquerors, in the name of Jesus. We are the victors, not the victim. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, any praise, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Happen all this weaponry that the Lord cannot teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The anointing which you have received from the beginning abideth in you. In the name of the Lord. You are already anointed in Jesus' name. Bible says so. The anointing which you received at the beginning abideth in you. And that anointing teaches you all things.
Amen.
That you always abide in Christ. Amen. In the name of the Lord. As you abide in him and he abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, it shall be done.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word this morning.
Amen.
We go as more than conquerors. We go as overcomers. We refuse to know anything less than that. In the almighty name of Jesus Christ. In everything he be hoping to be like unto us. He has overcome as I overcame. And he has given us the power to overcome. Weapons, not cannon. Mighty through him. To the pillar of all strongholds. We thank you for this opportunity this morning. So we go in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Conquering and to conquer. In the almighty name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.